person who needs no introduction and doesn't particularly want one, but he's going to get one, at least a brief one anyway, for the two or three people that don't know who Sky is. Sky Kirshner is the Executive Director of the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center here in Charleston. He serves as the pastoral leader at Unity of Kanawha Valley Church on Bridge Road, just a stone's throw from where we'll be meeting. He's on the board of directors for the Rotary Club of Charleston and is a Carl Harris Fellow. And in 2010, he appeared on the Discovery Studios show Quarters, portraying his interview to work with the West Virginia family. Give a warm Rotary welcome to Scott.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm going to speak down here if that's okay, because it sounds like I could probably speak louder than the sound system. So Todd and I are going to move this table and... Thanks, Todd.
Sure.
So it's nice to be here. I especially appreciate the opportunity to have some licorice-flavored tea. The first time I've drunk the tap water since I decided to switch to licorice-flavored shampoo so that I didn't have a conflicting smells going on in the shower. So, good to be with you all. I was asked to say something about the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center, and so I thought I would elicit your help with that. You know the game Family Feud. I thought we would play a version of Family Feud and just see where we could get with it. Back when I started at the center, 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, we had that idea of Stephen Covey had that idea of mission statements, and everybody came up with different mission statements, and our mission statement was kind of like everybody else's. It was a description of the services of what you did. So the mission of the Pastoral Counseling Center at that time was, to provide professional counseling in the context of a spiritual understanding of life at an affordable rate, and also to provide education and training to the community in mental health issues. And that was a pretty good description of what it was that we did, but if you didn't know what pastoral counseling was, we still get people who, when they try to come to our office, they wind up on Corridor G at John the 23rd Pastoral Center, where some people call us and say, is this a thing for dairy farmers, or just how does this work? And partially because West Virginia doesn't have a seminary, it's hard to sometimes know what pastoral counseling is. In our way of thinking, pastoral counseling is, we were started by a group of ministers 45 years ago here in Charleston. These were clergy people who had a lot of people coming to them for counseling, but they either didn't have the skills, the clergy didn't have the skills, or they didn't have the time to help all the folks that were coming. So they wanted to get some professionals in. At that time, there were people who were ordained and licensed professional counselors. We are fewer and fewer now because people just can't afford to do both of those trainings. And so they hired several pastoral counselors from New York City, a place called Blanton Peale Institute, started by Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking guy, and a psychiatrist by the name of Smiley Blanton. I always thought he'd be good with depressed people. Come on in, I'll teach you how to smile. So at any rate, Blanton Peale was the first three therapists were hired by Blanton Peale. Lee Myers was the first therapist here. Some of you may remember him. Lee passed away abruptly in the middle of his career, and so they were seeking to bring another therapist down, and I'm a graduate of Blanton Peale. I was on the faculty there, and they brought me down from New York City. I was so glad to get out of there. I'd been living in New York City for 6 years, and I knew that I had been there long enough when if you live in the city, it's sirens all the time, and it's noise and hustle and bustle. And one day I was lying in bed, it was 2 in the morning, and I hear the fire engine pull up and stop below our apartment. I knew they were below my apartment because I could see the lights reflected in the building across the street. And as I lay there, I noticed I wasn't the least bit interested in getting up and going to the window to see what was going on. And I decided, you know, I really need to move to a place where if a fire truck stops in front of my house, I at least go to the window to see what's happening. So I've been here for over 20 years. I'm thrilled to be here. You all know our main office is at First Presbyterian. We have offices throughout Kanawha County, Cabin Creek, several offices here, Trinity Lutheran, and one office here at Christ Church United Methodist. When we realized that our mission statement was mostly descriptive, but it didn't really describe what it is we're trying to do, we revamped it, and we came up with what I think is a pretty good sentence of what we actually do, what our goal is in terms of why we exist. And our purpose is to help people have better relationships with themselves and with others. Counseling is how we do it, but our goal is to help people have better relationships with themselves and with others. So I'm going to need some help here. This is I brought a PowerPoint presentation with me. Betty, would you come over here? And Betty's going to represent better relationships. And Charlotte, come on over here. And this is you or me, and we're trying to get to better relationships. Would you mind coming up and holding a sign for me? So here's the family feud part. What are the things that get in the way between you having a better relationship with yourself and with others?
It's her fault.
It's her fault. Yeah. So blaming your partner is one of those things that gets in the way between you having a better relationship with you and your partner. Does everybody agree with that? Now, unfortunately, on Family Feud, they actually have the percentage of, you know, what the kind of right answer is. We don't have the electronic buzzer, so we'll just do this in the old-fashioned way. I don't have the percentage on that, but I would call that unskillful communication. Right? That's not a particularly skillful way to communicate or to negotiate with somebody, to say it was your fault, right? That's not going to take me to having a better relationship. Sir, would you mind coming up? And you will represent for us unskillful relationships. Don't tell your wife. Yeah.
Debbie, you should go to Washington and talk to those people.
Yeah. So, and this actually is a really big deal for us. A lot of the reason that marriages and relationships break down, a lot of the reason that we have still a growing teen pregnancy rate and unmarried or single mother pregnancy rate is because of unskillful negotiations, right? I mean, people are not thinking about just what it is I want out of this, or maybe they are, maybe they're very skillful, but I would imagine that if most folks that enter a relationship, and if they're thinking about or at least wanting to have sex with somebody that they're that much in love, probably, hopefully, want this to work out. So one of the things that we do besides the counseling is we do a number of workshops on communication and negotiation, teaching people the skills, because this is not something that you're either born with or you're not born with. It's a skill. You can learn it. You can learn how to be more, I can learn how to be more skillful in my communication. My sense, we do a lot of premarital counseling, and my sense is that the best premarital counseling happens way before you meet your partner. When couples come in and they're already in love and they want to get married, and somebody tries to do premarital counseling, right, Ralph says, forget it. We actually have a name for it. We call it the help that nobody wants. Because they're there to get married. They don't want to go through the communications thing. They're already in love, right? How many of us were smart when we were in love? Not too many of us. We might have been lucky, but we probably weren't smart. So we now do premarital counseling with kids in elementary school. We don't call it premarital counseling because the parents would freak out. We call it communication skills, and we use a particular thing called nonviolent communication. It doesn't mean that stop hitting, well, it does mean stop hitting, but it's more respectful communication. How can you be respectful in your communication? So we do a class at Mountaineer Montessori. I've been doing that for about a year and a half, and we just started a class at Mary C. Snow Westside Elementary School with second graders. Oh my gosh. Half of my class is spent negotiating with the kids to sit down. Johnny or Darshan, please sit down. But all sorts of things happen. A girl drops her, what are those stringy bracelet things that the kids make? Those elastic, what are they called?
Friendship.
Yeah, she drops one, another kid picks it up. Hey, that's mine. Put that back. You thief, you stole that. Well, is there a more beautiful way to say that? Yes, there is. Betty, we will, Charlotte, we will be glad to come to Washington to help with this, because it is a skill. All right. Can I have a drum roll for the next one? What's your next guess? Oh my gosh, you guys have just met that metaphorically. Fantastic. What's your next guess on something that gets in between you and having a better relationship?
Trust issues.
Yes. Trust issues. Do I have trust issues on my thing? I think I do. I have something like that. Come on up, Todd. Now, trust issues are partially skillful communication, right? If I'm not communicating or negotiating skillfully, then I'm not going to be able to stand by my words. I'm not going to be able to have integrity with my words, and that's going to reduce trust. But another thing that affects trust is attention deficit issues. When somebody agrees to something and they're not really thinking about what they agreed to, right? So when I'm watching a football game and my wife comes in and says, hey, can we go to Paris? And I grunt and say, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then she says, and then I say, hey, what was that $3,000 charge of those tickets from Delta? And she says, that's the Paris trip. And I say, what Paris trip? And I've just lost some trust with my wife because I agreed to it, but either I didn't know that I agreed to it or I didn't really think it was going to happen. And lo and behold, her sense of my trustworthiness has plummeted. So one of the things we notice, and this happens a lot between parents and kids, right? What's the main thing that parents are telling their kids? Clean up your room. Get ready, it's time to go, right? How many people were late today because, you know, they couldn't get the kids out the door. So, and the kids, my son is very good at this. Okay, yes, I'll do it, but is he doing it? No, he's doing whatever he was doing at the time. So we noticed that attention deficit really affects people's ability to have a better relationship because it affects their trust. If you all get too tired or something, just let me know and we'll, but each of you is important. I want you to know that. All right, what else gets in the way between you having a better relationship with someone or with yourself?
Well, illness or alcoholism or drugs.
All right, well, I'll pick one of those. So, ding, 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 drum roll. Yes, addiction. Where's my addiction card? Huh? We're just going to go through this. This is much better than a PowerPoint presentation, isn't it? We call that death by PowerPoint. Would you mind coming up? And I've only got 7 more minutes, Betty tells me. Okay, we're going to have to be smarter then. I don't know if I have to say too much about this. I mean, what a scourge this is. When we're down in the southern coal fields, excellent idea. Feel free to find a chair. Okay. You know, when we're down the southern coast, or even up here, this is a huge thing. It affects everything about a relationship. I did a consultation teaching All 80 of the NIC unit nurses at Women and Children's Hospital last year in communication and negotiation skills. Why did they want training in communication skills? Because they feel so frustrated at the parents, because half of the parents of the kids in the NIC units abandon their kids there. They come maybe once every other day for 5 minutes to visit their kids. Why? Because they're strung out. They need to get their drugs, they need to do whatever they're doing to get their drugs. The kids frequently are addicted. This is a tragedy. So we were trying to help the NIC unit. Nurses wanted to learn how to engage these parents without slapping them upside the head, because that's what they wanted to do. How to engage them in a way that would encourage them to come and be more involved in their kids' lives. So yeah, okay, so addiction. What else?
I'm too busy.
You're too busy. Yeah, but you're too busy to have a good relationship. Yeah, what do you call that? Let's call it stress.
Yeah,
stress. Does that sound good? All right. Who would be willing to, would somebody be willing to volunteer and come out? Excellent. Thank you. Just to move things along.
Absolutely.
Tell me your name.
Adam.
Thank you. So stress gets between me and having a good relationship, right? I've had a long day. I've given at the office. I don't have any more to give by the time I get home. All right. What's another one?
You don't like that other person. Don't necessarily care much, whatever, maybe you don't know that
well. Yeah, so it might be anger or frustration, it might be introversion, those kinds of things. Yeah, we have some folks that aren't in a position that would fit for them because they're very introverted. Like most pastors, most ministers are introverts, right? Most congregations expect their pastor to be an extrovert. We want you to be out, you guys are lucky. Todd Wright, Village Chapel is lucky because Todd's willing to be, if he is an introvert, he's a closet introvert, and he's willing to be out there. How did he get involved in Rotary? His congregation came to him and said, we want you to be more involved in the community. He bit the bullet and joined Rotary, the cult of Rotary, yeah. So all of those things. But I've got three more. So let's just, I'll do all three of these in the interest of time. So one thing is anxiety, when somebody is too anxious. You could say social anxiety. Frequently people know what they want in a relationship, but they're too anxious to say what it is. Has anybody been there? Right? I don't know how to bring this up. I'm afraid of the reaction that I'm going to get. And that one is sometimes related to anger. This is a deadly combination for a relationship. If I'm scared to bring something up because I'm afraid the other person's going to be angry.
Or hit me.
Or hit me, or all of those different kinds of things that happen. So that gets in the way. There's another one is depression, when somebody just is too either low energy or absorbed with themselves, or has such a negative, and this is depression and anxiety are two of those things that really have as much to do with my relationship with myself. Folks that have depression tend to be really, 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 really hard on themselves. And nothing I do is right. Nothing I do makes a difference. And the final one that I'll just throw out there for your consideration is trauma. When somebody's been traumatized, they are usually preoccupied by that trauma. I was on site at Upper Big Ranch after the accident. I've been involved in probably 15 industrial or usually mining accidents. I was there day one at UBB, and I worked with the survivors, the guys that survived that accident, the guys who were not on the ship, but who knew all the guys that died. I worked with them for a year and a half. Once a week, I would go down there for their morning meeting at 6 a.m. and hang out with them for the day because they were so affected. You know, Bernie will tell you that, you know, when there's an accident, you know, as an HR person, when there's an accident, if there's, you know, you may have people physically affected by that accident, But if there's a traumatic accident that happened on site, like a line of duty death, or somebody, you know, has something terrible that happened to them, and you've got 5 or 10 people involved with helping that person, dealing with them, doing something with them, and they get affected emotionally by what they experience. And you all know, when we go through a trauma, the loss of a love, either through a breakup or through a death or an illness or something like that, you get preoccupied with that trauma. If you've got somebody in your workplace that's going through a divorce, what do they want to talk about usually? What's going on with that divorce? They're preoccupied with it. That's a natural thing. You don't want a preoccupied miner operating heavy machinery because they're thinking about their buddy who was working on the same section of the wall just last week when the accident happened. You want these guys to be as healthy as possible. So I go driving up to these mines in my Prius, and they look at me like with a lot of suspicion, like, who is this guy from Charleston? But as soon as I walk in and somebody says, oh, I know you, you were there at that other thing. And then somehow they manage graciously to let me in, and we start helping them process what they've been through. Let's hear it for our PowerPoint presentation. Any questions? I'm sorry, I didn't leave more time for questions.
I have a comment to follow up on what Sky said about trauma. Believe it or not, this water crisis has caused a lot of trauma. Families not understanding whether you drink water, particularly those with young kids. Mothers and fathers having to figure out what to do with the kids because of their school. We also saw this, I'm on the board of the YWCA, and we saw this during the derecho as well. You don't know what's going to happen, and you take it out on somebody else. So we're seeing higher incidences of domestic violence.
Oh, yeah.
And we're also seeing a lot of, and I'm sure you are too, PTSD of a sort when you get through, you know, you're like this trying to get through these traumas, and then when it's over, you say, I actually had women tell me that they, after the derecho, that they would just go to the grocery and they just, after it was over, they would just cry for no reason whatsoever, because the trauma had caused this horrible trauma, which of course affects the relationship as well.
Yeah, thank you, Betty. Yes, yeah, you may remember, what was that, Thursday evening when the rush for the water went up? My son and I went out to watch it. It was kind of looks like people driving 80 miles an hour into the Comart. Here's some water. You know, people kind of hoarding cases. I went to Fruit's Pharmacy, and it was absolutely beautiful. There were about 10 of us there looking for water. There was one case left. We all descended on it. We opened it up, and each of us took 2 bottles, and we left half a case for the next guy. My son was with me, and he said, why don't we take more? And I said, the next guy's going to want some. It was an awesome, awesome moment. I do want to make say something about the India Center and Bollywood Night. There are 3 families at the India Center who 5 years ago, they've been living in Charleston all of their professional lives. They came here from India, and they have been so appreciative of what Charleston was able to give them, sort of stability and security and a safe place to raise their kids and good schools, that they wanted to give something back to Charleston. So about 5 or 6 years ago, they had this idea of doing a Bollywood night. And the amazing thing about it was they decided they would cover all of the expenses so that all of the proceeds could go to a local charity. And they rotate the charities every couple of years, right? This is an amazing thing. The first charity, I think, was the YWCA. And they started at the India Center. They had about 200 people. They moved to Benicatim. They've had different charities. Susan B. Komen was last year. They had 500 people at the Embassy Suites. This year, they're going to be at the Civic Center. They're expecting 800 to 1,000 people. And it's a 3-way charity thing for Manamium and Health, West Virginia Health Right and the Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. The tickets are $100. That's $33 going to Manamium, $33 going to West Virginia Health Right, $33 going to Pastoral Counseling. We call it Body, Bellies, and Brains. Bellies for Manamium, bodies for health, right? Brains, your mental health, and your heart for Kanawha Pastoral Counseling Center. So I hope you consider coming to that. thank you so much for inviting me to speak, and I really appreciate Rotary and all that Rotary has done for the world, and thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Scott.